Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Well, you don't need me to tell you there's a housing crisis, but figures out today show that the number of homes built last year fell by 6.7% compared to 2023. The CSO says a total of 30,330 homes were built in 2024. There was a fall of 24% in the number of apartments built. The figures are in contrast to statements by some government politicians who had predicted there would be an increase in the number of homes built in 2024. They said in the general election campaign, for example, that 40,000 homes would be built last year. We're joined now by Pat Farrell, who's the chief executive at Irish Institutional Property. And we'll speak in a moment with Rory Hearn of the Social Democrats. Pat, you're very welcome, first of all, to the programme. Fewer houses built, fewer homes built last year than forecast. What's your reaction? Do you have an explanation as to why?
Thank you, Cormac. Just first of all, I just want to kind of refer to a promo that your co-presenter had on the topic earlier, where she described institutional investors as vulture funds. And in fact, of course, they're nothing of the kind, because we've been involved in the production of 55,000 houses that wouldn't otherwise have been built.
Of course, but they're commonly referred to as vulture funds, aren't they?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, the commentary can only be ascribed if it can be backed up by facts. And okay, I've already had communication with Sarah on this. But anyway, to your point.
We'll come to that in just a second, maybe, through some of the detail here. Can you explain as to why we haven't hit the 40,000 home target that was predicted?
Well, I think in one level it's not surprising, because as you yourself identified in your commentary there, apartment building effectively fell off a cliff. And that would normally contribute a very strong portion of that pickup traditionally in quarter four. But that didn't happen. And that's because of a combination of things. One of them is obviously we had an interest rate shock, which made a lot of viability challenges in the apartment sector. But more importantly, the continuing use of the rent cap, which effectively has left that area completely uninvestable for some time now. So on the other hand, though, interest rates have now moderated, and I think that's pointing to a pickup in activity in next year, and that is towards a big pickup. But I think the rent reform, the rent cap will also have to be seriously looked at as well if we're going to get the level of investment we need.
Are you saying, Pat, that the building of apartments fell off a cliff because it's not as profitable as it should be?
No, it's not about profitability, it's about viability. You had a very big increase in interest rates, which obviously challenged the viability of a lot of these developments. You also had a lot of challenges from the planning system, as you will be aware yourself. Mm-hmm. On a daily basis, we see substantial objections to large-scale apartment developments. That has played its part as well. And then, of course, as I said, there's the rent cap, which effectively means that to invest in any apartment development, you cannot even recoup the investment because of the artificial cap on the level of rent.
So the crazy rents, as some people refer them to, that are being charged by institutional investors as well as other landlords, sometimes 2,500 to 3,500 euro a month, depending on where you go. You're saying that it's not viable to build apartments for that repayment?
Well, what the rent cap is, first of all, those are headline rents. There's lots of other rents, and they're provided by institutional investors who themselves are supplying thousands of cost rental developments, which are at rates that are 30% below the market rate. So it's not just about the headline rents you're talking about. But the fact of the matter is that if we want to get rents down, we're going to have to increase supply. And the only way you can increase supply is by attracting more investment to build more apartments. So we have to tackle that fundamental issue.
But does the facts bear that out, I wonder, Pat?
Of course it does, Cormac.
Well, hang on. The question is that institutional investors, and this has been raised in the Dáil, have increased rents because they charge a really high rent and sometimes leave apartments empty if they don't get the adequate rent.
Well, first of all, can you give me the evidence for the apartments we left rent empty. I haven't got it. I'm not aware of that. And the second thing is,
you're denying that happens because it has been raised in the Dáil that.
It may have been raised, but nobody's actually supplied the information. There's a lot of weaponising of the whole language around this area. The fact of the matter is, rents in Dublin have moderated significantly below rents in the rest of the country. And this has been identified clearly, and evidence is supported from the likes of Ronan Lyons and other people who are knowledgeable and have very good track record of research in this area. And the fact is, because supply was so strong in Dublin, funded by institutional investors, that the level of rent increase in Dublin was running at the rate of 2.5% for the last year or two, when in fact it was 9% and 10% in the rest of the country.
Because they were rent caps.
But sorry, you're just after saying that the rents were runaway in Dublin. I'm telling you that
the rents in Dublin were coming
at the rate of 2.5%, Cormac, which was because of the increased supply that was being brought on board by institutional investment in the capital.
It could be that, but it could also be...
But it's not a could, it's a fact.
Hang on a second, Ronan Lyon has analysed this in detail. Are you saying that institutional investors wouldn't have charged more in rent if they weren't restricted?
Sorry?
Are you saying that institutional investors wouldn't charge more in rent, wouldn't charge the market rent if
what
they
I'm
wasn't...
Saying, what I'm saying is that in general terms... If you can get sufficient supply into the market to match the need, you will have a competitive market and therefore rents will be moderated and in some cases will fall. So the only sustainable solution to moderating or driving down rents in the Dublin market is to bring on more supply. And you will not have more supply unless you can attract the level of investment at the scale that institutional investors can bring it to the market without being able to have a balance between the need to provide solidarity for the renter, which is to give them some assurance about the level of rent, but equally at a level that will allow the investor and the funder of what is a very complex development and a highly costly development, a fair return on their investment.
You talk about supply and you talk about assurance for the renter, but equally in the IRES annual report last year, you spoke quite frankly about how you dislike the rent controls. You said the impact of the 2% cap on rental increases continues to be a profound problem on our business, with our portfolio under-rented to market rates. You want to get rid of the restriction, do you?
Well, of course. What we're saying is that we believe there needs to be a review of the rent cap to enable, on the one hand, social solidarity, because we do recognise there needs to be insurance for renters and that they need to know within reason what the actual rate of increase is going to be, and that it's going to keep pace with the level of inflation, so they're not going to find themselves paying more and more of their income on rent. But equally so, you need to give set the rent at a level that will allow the investor and the person who's funding the development to be able to make a reasonable return on the investment. These are pension funds that are seeking moderate, longer term returns on their investments.
But with respect, if the rent cap goes, if the 2% goes, and let's say there's no restriction, you said in the annual report, IRES.
No, I'm not asking for no restriction, I never said that.
Yeah, but can I make the point? Can I and then ask the question? You said in the annual report, our average monthly rent is 16%. Below current market rents, according to our independent valuer. Now, if a rent restriction were to go, and if it were lifted beyond the 2%, surely rents would simply just rise to whatever level the level would be.
No, that's not going to happen. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if we can bring more supply into the market, we'll get an equilibrium between supply and demand. And you will have a situation over the longer term where rents will moderate. And we're not saying that rents are suddenly going to jump by 16%, but what we are saying is there needs to be a fair balance struck between the right of the renter and the right of the landlord.
And finally,
what we've been proposing is that the cap or some form of the cap would continue to apply to all tenants, but that when a tenancy is vacated and it becomes available again, that then the landlord can have the ability to reset to whatever is the rate in the market for that particular development.
Okay. Look, we'll talk again, I'm sure. Pat Farrell, Chief Executive of the Irish Institutional Property. Thank you very much indeed. I'm joined by Rory Hearn of the Social Democrats. Can I get your reaction to what you heard there from Pat, that there might be some new cap suggested or agreed, but once a property is vacated, it could be left open to the landlord to readjust the rent. Would that be a runner in your book, Rory?
No, I think this idea that you somehow let the market decide rents has been proven prior to when the limited level of rent caps were brought in prior to 2016. We saw completely runaway rents. We see in areas around the country that they don't have rent caps in place, that are outside the RPZ areas. Rents are way, way beyond what they are inside the rental protection zones. So it shows that if you leave it to the market, rents will be even higher than they already are.
Well, Pat had a different view on that. He said that more apartments were built in Dublin, and that's why there's a moderation in terms of rental increases.
Yeah, well, see, this is Pat's argument, and he's making the case on behalf of the institutional investors who want to maximise the rent they can make from the properties that they own. They are large corporate landlords. They have hugely increased their dominance in the Irish market, particularly in Dublin, and they want to own more and more properties. They are a form of vulture funds. They are a form of property ownership, which is locking out ordinary people. And just let me finish, Cormac, one second.
He
absolutely rejects that term. But I think if you talk to the renters who are renting their properties, and you talk to the young people who can't buy any of these apartments that are all just built to rent, they can be quite clear what terms they would use to describe them. And I just want to make a wider point, Cormac, because I think it, to one extent, what this shows is that the government housing policy has been completely over-reliant on this type of institutional investment to deliver the fundamental need of housing. As Pat made it very clear there, that the viability, and you think you used the more accurate word, profitability, has been reduced in their estimation, given rising interest rates and rents, and therefore they stopped building.
But they also, and of course, he made the point that they also built an awful lot of thousands of cost rental homes. And in Dublin, he makes the point, and it's made in the annual report, which I mentioned, that their average monthly rent is 16% below the current market rate. So they're not all ogres, are they?
Well, just to be very, very clear about this, the increase in the role of institutional investors in housing in Ireland, particularly in Dublin, has been found by the central bank, and you referenced as well yourself, to lead to an overall increase in rents. They are too dominant. But I think there's a wider point that needs to be made here. These figures out today show that the government, and particularly the Taoiseach himself, they were either misleading or bluffing during the election as to how many homes were going to be delivered. They said 40,000 homes would be delivered last year. We're seeing 30,000. That's 10,000 less than what they said. It is an absolute disaster for young people, for people who are looking to get a home, and their housing plans and their policies are clearly not working. And I think that we need to see a significant change of policy. The Housing Commission called for a radical reset. I think these figures need to be, you know, along with the homeless figures, where, you know, record house prices, record rents, that we need some major change in housing policy try and address them.
Let's see what the new minister, James Brown, says about that. I'm sure the government would say they were not misleading, but we await and hear what their explanation is for not hitting the promised, predicted 40,000 target for 2024. Rory Hearn of the Social Democrats, thank you very much indeed. Beforehand, Pat Farrell, Míle Buíochas Chomh maith.